Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 24th episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today I have another special guest, one of my language exchange partners. His name is Vadim Malik. So welcome to the show, Vadim. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, as always. I think I've gotten so used to talking with you every Saturday since like July, August. It's been a pleasure to be able to discuss different ideas with you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe from August, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for people who aren't familiar with me or with Vadim, there's a language exchange Facebook group and that I started in July, and I started to bring on friends that I was making through the GoSpeaky platform, and little by little the group started to grow, maybe 100 people, maybe 200 last summer. And one of the ideas I think Vadim was very helpful with was suggesting that we should organize some kind of a chat or Google Hangout or some Skype chat, something like that, on a regular basis. So little by little, we started to get into a regular routine. And so now we have conversations on Saturdays. And so tell me a little bit about your experience with previous language exchange experiences and language exchange groups. How has that worked out for you so far?
Yes, maybe why I offer you to arrange this chat, because I was searching for opportunity to speak for someone for, I think, several years. I don't remember when first I found some language exchange site or group. I don't remember, maybe three or 4 years ago. And my goal was begin to practice speaking, because I was studying English for many years and just reading, listening, but I don't have opportunity to speak here where I live. I don't have partners here, and it's not very successful. I don't know why. There are many problems. First of all is my time zone. I always has, for some reason, always have this problem. We just couldn't arrange chat because it's my night, or it's my partner's night, or I'm on work. And even if we on weekend can arrange one chat, after this, usually we didn't continue. And your group is actually for first group when I had success with this regular chats, and I think I'm making progress. It would be interesting actually to listen. I don't know, maybe we have records from first chats.
Yeah,
just compare.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. Maybe I could go back into some of these Hangouts videos from August, September, October, November, December, and see. It's the similar experience. Like, because I have kids, I don't quite see how they're growing on a daily basis. Yeah. But whenever we visit family, a couple weeks, a couple months, they're like, "Whoa, okay, there's so much progress going on here." So it would be interesting. I'll see if I can edit with your permission some of the sections of the Google Hangouts, maybe do like a little time lapse or audio kind of a time lapse to see some of your comments in the Hangouts. So
it would be interesting.
I think one of the things I like to see recently is that you and a couple other people in the group have started to form a regular daily study group. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a great thing because yes, chats it's okay, but first weekly chat is not enough for practicing. And I was searching for some ways, and we discussed with you what can we came up with to more systematic practice, not maybe not chats, but maybe other projects. And actually, this group full of creative people who create his own projects, come up with own ideas. And currently, I participated actively with two of these projects. The first project is just daily chats when we studying language using student book. We're just doing exercises and discussing, and we have speaking practice, and also we have we study grammar and all the things from student book. And another great project is cross-reading project by Liliana. I like this project. It's very simple idea, but I don't know why nobody did this before. Very simple idea, just read book and send to a partner, and partner comments, make review, and partner send you his version of book, and you send review. There is two important things for me. First is no problems at all with time zones. I can record any time convenient for me and send, and I don't rush. I can review in several days when it will be convenient time for me. I can send review, and I can wait for a week maybe for my partner's review. It's more flexible mode of communicating. And the great part that we using literature for studying. So we reading books, and when we don't have much time for reading books, we this is the way to combine this with language learning. It's also great.
I was just speaking yesterday with Liliana about and Alain about their experience with the cross reverse reading project, and she was telling me that she was working with between Russian and Italian with you. So, and I need to be a little bit more active with my Russian reading with you, so I can keep that up with the Crime and Punishment for the Dostoevsky. It's great to have a partner who you feel comfortable with, that you've worked with for a while, and then once you build up that rapport, then a lot of creative projects are possible, and each person seems to invest their time and invest their effort. And I really like what you're saying about with the reading project, to say that it's asynchronous in terms of you don't always have to be connected at the same time, which oftentimes with the language exchanges, the time zone differences is usually what kills it, because everybody has a busy life in terms of work, family, studies, and sometimes trying to find the perfect partner, the exact level, the appropriate level in the language, if they're a native speaker or if they're a study partner, and then also adding the variability of the time zones, it really just it can make it an exchange a bit difficult if each person is very dependent on, okay, when are you available? Not. Oh, is your how's your availability this week? Oh, it's going to be different. So I think one thing I have tried to encourage people is try to figure out projects that where they don't have to be dependent on the time zone. So I really like this idea that you can take a piece of literature, read it when it's convenient for you, and make a recording, maybe 5-10 minutes or so, and then send it to your partner, and then they can review it when it's convenient for them. And just like an email exchange, but in this case, you have a very focused project where, you're improving your reading skills. You may be learning new vocabulary from literature. You're working on pronunciation skills. You're getting feedback. So I think it's a really a very great idea for.
Yes, and you can have not only one partner. We have group, and we send all stuff to group, and everyone now currently only Liliana interested in Russian, but maybe in the future other people also interested. He can just connect and begin to also send his records, and I will review these records. So it's any time new people may connect to this project, to existing thread of reading. It's also great. Now currently we don't have much people there, but I think it's just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And just yesterday one guy from Pakistan, I think, was asking me for Russian, how I can help him with Russian, and I told him about this project. He's interesting, and maybe he's also connected to Russian study.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I that's one aspect I think I maybe have overlooked when I was speaking with Liliana, that the fact that it isn't just a one-to-one possible exchange. That that's great that it's a community possibility, because that's some of the things that I've seen on other websites. Like, well, with YouTube, somebody might post a video and you don't know when or who is going to look at that video eventually. And also I've seen this with Benny Lewis's kind of the Speak in a Week crash course, in that he has an uploads feed on his website, so that people, as they're learning a new language and trying to practice speaking, practice their pronunciation, they'll upload maybe a video to YouTube, and then they'll put a link in that feed, and then there's a whole discussion topics. The discuss platform, so people can leave a comment under the video, and you don't know when those people are going to see it, and then they can comment on it, give feedback. And so it's once you kind of open up others, like your writing or your speaking, to a big public or a community, I think there's a lot of opportunities where maybe I observe something and I give feedback, somebody else hears something different, and then they can also give feedback. And there's an expression, like an African proverb, that like it takes a village to raise a child. I think that's a very valid insight for language learning. I think many times my experience has just been like, you get a book, it's boring, or there's a limited CD that accompanies the book, and you don't get very far with that. But once you become part of a language learning community and you are interacting with people from different ages, different countries, different professions, different insights, you get like a team of people who are helping you and supporting you, encouraging you. So I really like the community aspect of the project.
How we learned before the internet. I remember these times. So what do you speak? Some CD, difficult to find. And with some strange phrases, not interesting, not useful for you. And when we had DVD with original sounds, it was for me, it was, oh, now I can't see any movie in English. Oh, it's great. And before we didn't have it. But internet is, for sure, internet is a revolution in this area. And I think this is why we have so much people now who want to study languages, because it's very easy now. Mm-hmm. You don't have any problems with learning English. There are so many ways to do it. You have online courses, you have these hundreds of language exchange groups and sites. No problems at all. And it wasn't, 15 maybe years before, it looks very different.
So yeah, yeah. Great time. Yeah, I think these are some really exciting times to be learning languages, and there are new projects that continue to develop. Yesterday, I was getting involved more with signing up for the Add1 challenge organized by Brian Kwong, and a couple of days ago I spoke with him for the podcast, and he was telling me about the new the 15th edition that's being launched this week for sign up, and so I'm looking forward to another language learning group to see how that community works, and to see if that is going to help continue to increase and develop my Russian. So I definitely need to stay focused with my Russian, and I need to practice more. And I know you have been very generous to offer me whenever I can send you an email or send you a message or with the book. So I appreciate your support with that. So I just need to take you up on your offer more frequently.
Yeah, sure. Ask me whenever you want about Russian.
Mm-hmm. So
it's my pleasure to help.
Yeah, so I need to be more diligent with maybe writing emails in Russian, or with the reading project to continue with the Crime and Punishment, and or with other short stories. Since one recording that I made, I had uploaded it to VK, and then this generated a whole discussion of, well, why do foreigners want to read Dostoevsky? That's old literature. And then somebody saying, no, that's a classic. And I think you were being helpful and saying, no, stick with it. Don't give up. And so I think people could say the same thing if one of my students was reading Charles Dickens and finding it difficult to look at the vocabulary or the grammar. Even for me as a native speaker, having to read some of the older classics, it is a challenge. There is things that I don't know about British society, London society from 200 years ago. I have to learn something new. Just because I speak that language doesn't mean that I understand everything that's going on in that text. So, but it's an exercise like any other.
Yes, one thing I can agree is that's quite old book, and it has some phrases and some words we don't use mm-hmm. now, and maybe it can be a problem if you remember these words and you will be trying to use this these words in conversation. It maybe will sound very strange, but I don't know. I don't think this is only way to study. Yes, it's only way for you to study Russian, it's maybe not good idea to study this way. But if you combine this with other ways, other courses or other projects, I think it's okay. It's not so old. It's just mm-hmm. from 19th century. There mm-hmm. is no strange things in this book you cannot understand now. It's actually normal life, I think. And in this conversation, what I didn't like that why they like Dostoevsky, it's not, I don't know. It was not about studying language, but about Dostoevsky. I think people like it, like him, not because he's Russian, just because of his literature. Like many people like, I don't know, Elvis Presley, or not because he's American, right? Don't care.
Just American. An icon.
Yes. And I think this is not right way to argue about such people like Dostoevsky.
And in for your literature preferences, what are some of your favorite Russian authors?
I like Dostoevsky. Yes, this is why I offer you to continue. I think if we can finish this book, and we also have English version, you have write English version, and I think it's a great book to read. And unfortunately, I don't have much time. Actually, it's maybe not right, but I don't have much time to read book. I'm trying now to read some books, but I have to. I want to have more time for this. Maybe Project of Liliana will help with this. I will read some great books studying languages.
Yeah, I think it's likewise. I have a lot of books on the shelves, and I'm picking up more and more projects. But I think if I wanted to, for example, to teach my children to find pleasure in reading, they have to see me reading books. So I have to give them that example. And so it's difficult in this time with all this technology, with the computers, with the tablets, with the smartphones, and the TV with the video. And so one thing I remember when I was living in Europe with France is that people would read quite a lot, and they would be reading several books a year, or even reading at least a book a month. And so there were many bookstores that you could see in Paris. And living in Mexico, unfortunately, I see a lot of advertising that says, like, please cultivate yourself, read for 10 minutes a day. So it's a complete contrast that in terms of finding reading as a pleasure, it's a complete difference in the culture. And so I think that might be some part of the public education system to try to encourage people to read more. And I think in the States, there's a balance. I think people do like to read. There's a lot of people also who like to do the books on tape, or put a CD in their car just to try to interact with the books. But
I mean, audiobooks, right?
Yeah, audiobooks, exactly. And there are a lot of public libraries in the United States that are excellent. So I think it's very important that literature is an important aspect to keep in a daily life, and also as part of a language learning experience. So I think I like this project, and I'm definitely going to keep up with it. So actually, in fact, I think as soon as we wrap up this podcast, I'm going to go do another recording for the Crime and Punishment. So I'll post with this conversation, if people are interested in hearing my butchering of the Russian language. But it'll help me stay motivated and stay focused, and like you were saying, with a community environment, if you allow people to have access to the audio, or they can give a comment and give feedback. So
Yes, I agree. Literature is important part, and I think I read 5 minutes a day, but it's not enough at all. Mm-hmm. It must be more.
And how is the public library system in Russia? Are there many bookstores that people can find books, and are there public libraries where they can borrow books pretty easily?
No, I'm using electronic books. It's much easier to find and to get these books. And yes, we have sites here in Russia, and I'm also use Google Books. I'm mostly trying to read English books, because this way I also practice in English. But some Russian books I get from Russian site like Google Books, when mm-hmm. you can buy electronic books, and when they also have many free books. And this book I sent you, Russian version of Dostoevsky, it was from this library. It's free. You can just download and mm-hmm. read.
Okay. Yeah, I think in that case I'll probably include the link to, if other people might be interested in Dostoevsky, to find other examples. And so, yeah, I think it's great to be able to find books online, especially if you might not be able to find them locally in the target language that you want to be reading. So definitely, I would encourage people, if they are interested in literature and they want to develop their reading skills in the target language, go look online to see at different websites that offer either free versions of books, perhaps classics, for example, or other websites like Amazon or whatever is a possible site in your language to look up books that you could buy for that you could have on a tablet or on a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know many people like paper books because it's more traditional, and they think electronic books is not book at all. But I don't know. For me, maybe due to my profession, I'm a programmer, and I was reading mostly electronic resources, articles, forums, and for me, it's for many years reading from computer, it's more usual than reading from some paper books. Mm-hmm. So this is why for me electronic books is completely okay. It's much easier to read than paper. Mm-hmm. Books.
Yeah, I think as I look at my shelves, I see paper books, I see DVDs, I see CDs, and I'm thinking like everything is just becoming digital. Why do I have to have these books on paper, and why do I have to have movies on DVDs? I mean, it's all becoming more and more and more digital. So I although I do preserve some of the books because I don't want my kids to be completely dependent on the digital technology. So it's a balance, but I agree with what you're saying of if you're used to reading material on a digital screen, then go ahead and continue with that for the literature.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, so thank you very much for taking the time to be part of the show. And if people would like to get in contact with you as part of the reading project with Russian or language exchange, how should they get in contact with you?
I think easiest way is in Facebook group. I also can send you my Skype and my email. It's okay. Also okay.
Okay, so I can include those in the show notes with this podcast. And if people are interested in taking English lessons, with me or hearing more about my language, Mandarin, so you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's H-U-G-G-I-N-S international.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. So thank you very much, Vadim, for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you as always, and I look forward to our next hangouts on the weekend. And I definitely will try to check out the study group that you take part in on a daily basis. And I look forward also to continuing with the book reading project. So
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Take care.